You're listening to Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Ari Snyder, joined by Maine Public political correspondents Steve Missler and Kevin Miller. They're here to break down the increasingly bitter Democratic primary contest for Maine's pivotal U.S. Senate seat. So guys, this race to decide which Democrat is going to face Republican Senator Susan Collins has long been trending toward a brutal slugfest between the top two contenders. That's, of course, Governor Janet Mills and combat veteran turned oyster farmer Graham Plattner. And now that slugfest seems to be here. The governor this week released an attack ad that goes after Plattner for his old social media posts. Steve, can you walk us through this ad and what it's trying to do?
Sure. So the ad zeroes in on this Reddit post from 2013 that highlights a website selling locking underwear for women who are concerned about sexual assault while at various places like a club, traveling, or running alone. Now, the ad leaves out that part and focuses exclusively on Plattner's response to it, which is dismissive of the product for sure, but also takes it a step further.
Did you know Graham Plattner wrote that women worried about rape need to, quote,
not get so fucked up they wind up having sex with someone they don't mean to?
It's disgusting.
Plattner wrote to avoid rape, women should, quote,
act like an adult for fuck's sake.
Graham Plattner, seriously.
We blame the victim? That's a horrible thing to say.
Disqualifying. I have not seen this.
He's a bully.
This guy gives off a vibe.
Just no way I could vote for you.
No.
So what you hear there is a narrator reading parts of the post, and then several women appear on camera reacting to it as if for the first time. And the idea is to portray shock at these comments and basically give this impression that Plattner, this candidate who came out of nowhere, has some dark and disturbing beliefs about sexual assault that voters may not be aware of.
All right. So, Steve, lots of questions here. This one may not be the most important one, but is that an AI voiceover?
It's funny you mention that, Ari, because a lot of folks had a similar impression. The Mills campaign says it's not. There is AI detection software out there, and I ran that clip through a couple of different ones, and the results were mixed. But the point, right, is that is to have someone impersonate Plattner's gravelly voice while he's reading these comments.
And Kevin, this ad is obviously designed to raise alarms among women voters about Plattner, and that's why several are featured reacting to these comments.
Yeah, right. So the Mills campaign is going after Plattner on an issue that they and others on both the left and the right believe is a real weakness for Plattner. And at the same time, it's perceived to be one of the biggest strengths for Governor Mills, both during the primary and during the general election against Republican Senator Susan Collins. Mills has a long track record on women's issues in the state. She was co-founder of the Maine Women's Lobby, which is very active in politics here. As governor, she's worked with the Democratic majority in the legislature to strengthen and expand access to abortion and reproductive health services. And I think this is really critical. You know, women voters account for a disproportionate share of voters in the Democratic primary and potentially in November. So obviously they look at this as being a really salient issue.
And Steve, you mentioned in the Pulse newsletter that most of the women shown in the ad are political insiders themselves. Does that matter?
Well, Ari, it was certainly a focus by Plattner supporters who cited it as evidence of the ad's lack of authenticity. I mean, all of these folks have been openly critical of Plattner for months, including when this and other Reddit posts originally surfaced in October. So if you're a close follower of Maine politics, you would know that. But I think it's a safe bet that many Democratic primary voters do not know that. And for that reason, I'm not sure that people are going to get too hung up on that detail. And certainly the Plattner campaign is taking the ad very seriously.
Yeah, let's talk about that part. So Plattner apologized for these posts back in October. He basically said that they came at a time when he was disillusioned after several combat tours in Iraq and was sort of acting out on the internet. And he tried to emphasize that during an event this week in response.
When I read through my old internet posts, when they resurfaced 6 months ago, I was horrified. I did not recognize in them myself or the man that I am today. I didn't recognize myself in this person that was struggling to find meaning and posted awful things 13 years ago. I am sorry, but it does not in any way reflect who I am today or the beliefs that I hold.
Kevin, is that explanation working for Plattner? It seems like this is just the beginning of an ad campaign that's going to try to derail his path to the nomination.
Well, I'd say it's probably too early to say whether it is working for Plattner, but I think this is, in all likelihood, as you suggested, just the start of this campaign against Plattner. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we've been hearing for some time that this is an area where Plattner is perceived to have a real weakness with voters. You know, and again, this is the Mills campaign that's coming after him, but we're expecting super PACs and some of these other really deep-pocketed national groups probably to come after Plattner on the same issue to kind of amplify these attacks. The buy from the Mills campaign seems to be pretty small, but that's likely to be entirely overshadowed by these much larger, much wealthier national groups that are going to be hitting him on the same issue. One thing I'll add, I think, is interesting that Plattner actually recorded a separate ad on this issue where he faces the camera, and it's kind of consistent with the way he's approaching this campaign, which is confronting controversial issues like this head on. But he had to spend quite a bit of money probably to get that ad on the air. So even if the Mills ad buy was fairly small, they're forcing Plattner to respond and spend his own money.
And Steve, turning back to you, what does this all say about the status of the primary contest right now?
Well, Ari, I think this race is basically a proxy battle between the national establishment Democrats backing Mills and the folks from the Bernie Sanders political machine that are backing Plattner. That battle has been going on since at least 2016, and now it's a fight for the soul of the Democratic Party that just so happens to involve a key U.S. Senate seat. So I expect it to intensify considerably. I mean, what's notable about this ad is that Mills is taking a confrontational tack, which is usually something super PACs do in primary contests. But look, she's trailing in publicly available polling, and I think that's another reason why this is happening 13 weeks before the primary election.
So let's shift gears for a minute to the other primary races, which include two U.S. House seats and the race to replace Governor Mills in the Blaine House. Kevin, Monday was the deadline to qualify for the primary ballot. So why don't you summarize the field in these races and say who's involved now?
All right. So we got some pretty crowded fields in all the races, or at least most of the races. In the race for governor, there are five Democrats that qualified for the ballot. These are all kind of names that might be familiar to a lot of Democratic, you know, activist voters, people like Troy Jackson, Hannah Pingree, Dr. Nirav Shah, and Shanna Bellows, and then Angus King III, the son of the current senator. On the Republican side, we have eight contenders who are running, and a lot of these folks are fairly new or are political newcomers, I'd say. I won't list them all, but they mostly have backgrounds in business. That seems to be their what they're campaigning on. They're also campaigning on themselves as outsiders, which I think, you know, sets up this interesting dynamic where you have the Democrats, most of the Democrats have been involved in government or politics for some years now, whereas most of the Republicans have been outside of government. So that'll be an interesting thing to look ahead to the general election.
And so at the same time, what are you seeing in the congressional races?
Right. So in the congressional races, we have, in addition to the Senate race we just talked about, in the second district congressional race, we have four Democrats who qualified for the ballot. Those are Jordan Wood, Matt Dunlap, State Senator Joe Baldacci, who's the brother of former Governor John Baldacci, and Paige Loud. And then on the Republican side, it's going to be former Governor Paula Page alone on the ballot. And in the first district, similar situation where you have Democratic Representative Shelley Pingree. She's alone on the ballot. It doesn't face a primary challenger. And then there are two Republican challengers, Ron Russell and Joshua Petrowitz.
And one last election topic, there's likely going to be a referendum question on the November ballot that would ban transgender athletes from girls' sports. But that's not all that's in that initiative, right, Kevin?
Yeah, that's right. It's certainly being framed as dealing with this really kind of hot button issue that we've had for more than a year now, which is whether transgender athletes should be able to compete in girls' sports. It would say that basically schools can only offer male, female, or co-ed teams. But on the bigger picture, the law would actually also require schools to maintain separate restrooms, locker rooms, and showers for each sex. And when you look at it, there have only been a handful of transgender athletes who have competed in high school sports over the years. So that provision potentially has a much larger and broader impact when you're applying it to all transgender students and which restrooms they could use.
And that was Maine Public political correspondents Kevin Miller and Steve Missler. Thanks for joining us for Maine's Political Pulse. For more about this, check out the Pulse newsletter. Find it online at mainepublic.org/pulse. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon on Maine's Political Pulse.